committee to order. I don't know if it has everybody on this committee gotten a chance to read the minutes. There were two sets of minutes. One was from the regular October 9th meeting, and the other one was for the special meeting we had on October 21st. If anybody wants to take a peek through them quick, feel free to do so. Do you have any questions or comments? We have Gary Newkirk. Gary's the head of the Ag Society. He takes care of our fairgrounds on Libertyville Road in New Paltz. Gary's been there quite a long time, heading things up there. He's been there since I've been a legislator. They work very hard there to maintain the grounds. They do an excellent job. From year to year, they add new features. They assist in other events there to make sure things go smoothly. And he asked if he can come tonight and just give us a little update on what's been going on and what they plan to be doing in the near future, touch base with us, and keep the doors of communication open. Gary?
Okay, well, thank you. Years ago, we used to work a lot with this committee, and then when the form of government changed to the executive branch, we kind of were working through the executive office and kind of lost touch. I didn't even know we were on the committee anymore. And I thought, and what really triggered this is you're going to see a resolution coming
right to
approve the new building. I'm like, hey, you know, keep in touch with you guys and have another, you know, contact into the county government. And then obviously I'd like you guys to know me, and if there's ever any questions or anything, that you can certainly reach out to me. I don't know how, you know, I know some of you guys have been around a while and know a lot of the details. I thought I'd just go through a quick thing on the management history. Originally, we managed the fairgrounds out there kind of on a handshake agreement. There was no formality in place.
Right.
It worked for quite a few years, but then more and more events got out there, and, you know, it got to be just the point where, you know, people make agreements for having an event out there, and then it would end up with all the work. So we just needed something formal. And we did in 2008, we entered into our first five-year license agreement. And basically, that license agreement for the Okie County Ag Society would manage the fairgrounds. We would pay $15,000 per year to the county and 25% of whatever profits we made from outside events. And we agreed to keep a separate set of books to keep the events totally separate from the fair, and of course all the fair profits would still remain with the Ag Society. That worked, you know, fine. Then we started negotiating for a second five-year license agreement in 2013, and we talked a lot about, you know, money and anything that we put into the ground. It was kind of decided that if this $15,000, it was turned out basically it was around between $17,000 and $18,000 a year to go back into the general fund. And I won't say it was lost, but you know, never really got back into the fairgrounds. So we decided, you know, we really agreed, and it was a good cause that instead of paying the county that money, we would be able to keep that money. But we had to guarantee if we would spend that on capital improvements on the fairgrounds, keep the fairgrounds up. And through the years, we've spent a lot more than that out there, but it really has helped us to keep continuing to do the grounds and things like that.
DPW programs and grounds is a fair amount of work.
Sure,
that's
sure.
What I said.
No, there's a lot of crew out there.
Appreciate it. Yeah,
and we've had a great relationship with Brian over the years. The one big responsibility that Brian's told me about is the water testing and things like that, being the wells, the chlorination system, and things like that. That is just phenomenal for me. It's nothing I want to get involved with, and Brian's guy had the training, had the know-how, he did a phenomenal job out there. So that's a great asset to both for my ability to the county and for the ice society for the water supply issue. I think everybody's happy with it. The ice society's happy with the agreement. The only thing we're asking for is a longer term. We've been trying for years to make it a golden 5-year license agreement, and we can't get that. That's what we'd like to see in the future. Just quickly, on the average, we do approximately 14 major events at the fairgrounds every year. Most of you know what the major ones are. The Crow Hunter events, the Grass Fair, Memorial Day, and Labor Day weekend. Play Bowl Dog Agility, they take 2 weekends. Big Falls Fire Department is now doing a car show out there. Big Falls Rillery, Hudson Valley Cluster Dog Show has been a big event out there for over 25 years. The town of New Paltz, we host their 4th of July celebration. Highline Rotary Club does the Hudson Valley Rib Fest. New Paltz Chamber is based in New Paltz. The 4-H Harvest Fest after 2 years. And we always have one RV camping weekend. There's always some folks that comes in for a weekend.
Yeah.
It's not always the same. It might be an air sitting club. It might be a holiday rambling club or whatever.
And that list continues to grow.
It continues to grow. And there's a lot more small events. I actually have 2 horse shows a month now in the horse facility. We try to control it. We try to keep a weekend open in between each event. We have plenty of time to clean up, get the 4 grass fighting chairs.
Find your best work out for it.
But if you look down the list, the other nice thing is, look, New Paltz Fire, New Paltz Rotary, it's a lot of the local organizations that we help on regular fundraisers for the year for these people,
right.
Organizations. So we do a lot for the community in that respect. And the big thing is the economic impact. All the fairs in the state are members of the New York State Association of Agricultural Fairs. I'm actually 3rd vice president of the association this year, going up to the chairs. We've had a lot of discussion at a state level on funding for fairs and all of that stuff, and we finally decided that we needed some real numbers on economic impact that the fairs bring to the state of New York. And Erie County Fair is actually the largest county fair. It's bigger than state fair, actually.
Wow.
And they had an economic impact study done. And then we decided, Dutchess County decided to do one, and then the state association funded a small fair. And there was a meeting there, Washington County, and they plotted all of the results, and it turns out it was almost a linear plot from the size of the fair to the immature economic impact. So basically, you could take the attendance of the fair, plot it on here, and pretty much come up with a number. And it turns out, if we did that for the Washington County Fair, we showed that we provide $147,000 in tax revenue. Just the 6 days of the fair.
Wow.
That's just the fair. That does not count all these other events.
Other events, right.
So if you take all of that together, we'll put a lot of money back into the economy here in the county. Now, these are some of the latest improvements we've done. I just wanted to go through. The first one's kind of a score point, the sleeper improvements, but that quite years ago, we actually upgraded our bleachers. Took all the wood off, we put aluminum seating, aluminum risers, put them all over the code. You can see there was the building, the National Horticulture Building, that used to actually be at the fairgrounds. We took put a whole new metal roof on it and refaced it with Gordon Batten pine siding, and that's the end result there. This was the new Home Arch Building that we built in 2005. The next one shows our new announcer booth. You can see the one that had the tunnel falling down. And that's what we replaced it with alongside of it. Of course, the new bathrooms, that was a struggle. For many years, the county was going to build those bathrooms as part of the infrastructure, kind of their responsibility. The money never came around there. Finally tore down the old bathrooms since they were unusable, and then they had a responsible they had to do something for the
answer. I see that they came good.
$160,000 later, but it's a beautiful building. It came out nice. And we now have four showers on the fairgrounds with the new bathrooms. We have a huge club. All the organizations that use the fairgrounds. A couple of years ago, you can see I changed the entrance way into the fairground. We used to have a chain link fence and a big aluminum sign, and it was a carnival entrance as opposed to a county fair entrance.
Right.
And our staff out there to keep the look of the grounds, keep that county fair. We built this new beam structure, and it came out really, really nice. We tried to maintain some of the old buildings out there. We believe this blacksmith shop might be one of the oldest buildings on the ground. We don't know. It was originally, we believe it's dead. It was a house. We know it was a house. We don't know if it was the original Ted Farmer's house from the old poorhouse, or whether it was a tenant house for the farmer or whatever. But anyway, and years ago, they had tore up all the siding and just put kind of a snow fencing up over it, turned it into a court grip. So rain and snow was blown in on that thing and pretty much destroyed the whole thing. So this year we actually put all new siding and put these two new windows on the end to try to preserve that building. We want to do some more fixture on the inside and kind of make that into a little bit more of a historical building. So that was our project for this year. The next thing we'd like to do, and that's the resolution that you'll see
tonight.
Right now, is one of the old tree barns from the original fair as a poultry barn. Beautiful old barn, post-Indian construction. And what's happening is we're starting to get a lot of old equipment. We've made some ties with Orange County Farmers Museum. So we'd like to have a place to put all the empty equipment and kind of build a museum and do a lot of agricultural education.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided this old barn would be ideal. We want to really clean that out, pressure washer, probably sandblast all the paint off to get it back to the natural wood. But to do that, we need a new building for our pressure.
Right.
And we decided we have a spot for it. We've got the existing rabbit barn that shows in this picture is a Morton building. We've gone back to Morton. They can duplicate that building right alongside of it. We'll probably try to tie it together with a breezeway. So that's what we're trying to do. We have a quote from Morton for about $59,000 for the building. We got a quote for about $11,000 for the slab. Thing that kind of snuck upon us is the electric. Started looking at really just this location back here from the back corner of the fairgrounds where all the old buildings are, and there's not a lot of electric back there. So we decided to basically run a totally new line from about where the office come all the way down and put a whole new transformer in the back room by the wrap corner by the racing cage where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And build a drive that building and then also possibly break up some of the load on the other building. We have one to our answers to the project, hold that corner in the fairground. So hopefully we can not only power the new building, but improve the distribution of some of the other buildings. Okay, that's pretty much it.
Sounds like you're quite busy.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
We don't have anything to do.
Does anybody have any questions for Gary?
I do because I spent the best 10 years running the recycling program, so it's a bit. So my first question, coordinating with anyone, is how's that going, or is it still a good recycling and composting rate?
Yes, we are doing a lot. If you can imagine that the deposit amount of water bottles is really small. A lot of bottles of water sold on the fairgrounds. But we continue to do all the recycling. We've got 50 of the really nice containers that fold open in pumps for special recycling. So we try to keep one of those at every garbage station also. The other thing we did now was we built two, they look like dog kennels, be very basic, and we put holes in them, and we get people to recycle into those, and those we actually gather up and get the money back from the recycling from those bottles, and we donate them to Bloomington Fire Department. It's not Toys for Tots, but it's similar to the thing that Bloomington Fire Department does. So we try to do that. And then I don't know if you're familiar, a lot of the other organizations are really being very concerned, and the taste of new calls. I don't know if you know Wendy, but she's recently into recycling, and she has separate containers with all the utensils and the food waste and all that. She does a phenomenal job.
Oh, great. Because I remember starting the recycling program, and they kind of, as you recall, looked at me like I had two heads, but he made it easy for them. And then a few years later, I went back and asked them to compost, and they went, what? Are you crazy? I do both. You know, as long as we made it easy for them.
Did all the volunteers
do that? Yep, we had a team of volunteers. But my other question, given that, are any of the buildings heated?
The only building that has heat in it is what we call the youth building, James Bartley.
And then I know there's some talk about a future solar development out on the fairgrounds. Am I correct about that? No?
We looked a few years ago, we looked at putting solar panels out of this building, just a very big roof, proper exposure, but we got a quote of like 130,000. And of course that was years ago and everything is changing.
Yeah, I would really encourage you to investigate that again. I'm not a fan of Solar City and leasing, but they will do it at no cost. And then you reap the benefit of partial savings. And if we have a way of actually financing it, which I don't know whether the Energy Improvement Corporation would cover something like real estate coming here, but we can find out. If you have a way of financing it, then you reap even higher benefits in terms of savings. So I see a lot of flat and south facing roofs here. So you have to excuse me, but we need to really harness every bit of also that we can.
You went through the Central Hudson had a program where they would come in and upgrade all the lighting and things like that.
Yeah, I saw the lighting improvement. That's great.
They promised like 70% payback. We didn't get anywhere near that because our usage was so strange. You know, we have huge usage over the summer months, nothing in the winter. But anyway, they worked with us. We ended up getting reimbursed. We ended up spending about $15,000, $16,000, but we upgraded a lot of the lighting LEDs.
I thought I heard something from the executive about doing a solar farm of sorts in some of the open space out at the fairground. Anything else hear that, or am I dreaming it?
I haven't
heard it. Okay. Well, don't be surprised if you hear it. You heard it from me first.
Does anybody else have any questions for Gary? Okay, I'll make a motion to take 451 out of order.
Motion made.
Second.
Okay.
Aye.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carried.
I'd just like to make a comment.
Yeah.
I've known Gary almost all my life.
Yeah.
And Gary's father took care of the property before Gary did.
Really?
Yeah. And both he and his father had done an excellent job with that property. Excellent job. They took it after, did over shortly after the county old age home was torn down. And that would be, what, about 1964?
No, the home wasn't torn down until mid-80s.
Mid-80s?
Actually, when I started on the fair, it was 1986. And I think that's the year they came down.
Yes, excellent job.
All right, Derek, this committee can never help you down the road with anything. I'll look into that other area about that contract, see if we can help you out in any way. I don't know if that's something that you've negotiated through the executive office only, or we'll play a part in that. I don't even...
It's handled the lawyers. The problem is, and there is a law on the books that would say that the county cannot enter into any longer than a 5-year agreement.
Right. Oh, okay.
But what I've been fighting for is just a rolling 5 years.
Yeah.
At the end of each year, nobody raises a red flag, just automatically renews, so it would roll on.
Right.
To me, that's flowers the law. It's within the bounds of the law.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming and sharing that with us.
If anybody, is familiar with the fairgrounds, they really lost about one day and walked around the fairgrounds and looked around. And, I live next door, so I...
There you go.
Two tours. Thank you.
Legislator Maloney has asked to address the committee tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be very, very brief. I'm here, and I'm probably in this. I should have been here a month or two ago. But I'd just like to thank the Highway Department. I call it the Highway Department for all the work that they've done in the town of Ulster and in the town of Kingston up on Sawfield Road with the burning and the flooding. And up on the Unmanned Creek, I want to thank you for your assistance. Allen and Hill Road, strike them in my mind. Please take it back, all of you. It was Richard Shealy, congratulations, Brian.
Thank you.
Just here to say thank you very, very much for all of
you.
One thing, precious, well, Gary, but there's a lot of different programs there. The nicer they reinvent themselves every day with different kinds of programs. So there could be something in that bag out there for them.
For solar?
Yeah.
That would be great.
They'll trust you something. If they get a panel on it, they'll still do it.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move to resolution. Unless anybody has anything else. Resolution number 403, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 15 of 2014, a local law establishing a construction apprenticeship for agreements for certain bridge contracts in excess of $500,000 to be held on Wednesday, December 17, 2014 at 6.05 p.m. Okay. Any discussion? This is simply for contractors to, bridge work over $500,000 if they want to bring new people into the union to learn. They have to notify the county ahead of time. They have to be covered by the state of New York. Am I correct? David is saying that. That's basically what this is, and this is only setting a public hearing.
Local law will require that.
Local law will require, right. Motion made by Legislator Lauren. Seconded by Senator Roberts. All in favor?
I'm sorry, can you say what it does again? I felt like a totally different meaning than that. The local law, if it's established, would require a construction apprenticeship program on bridge projects over $500,000. So the contractor who hires a demo or when you work on a bridge would have to have an apprenticeship program in order to qualify to get in the project.
So not just allow, but actually require.
Right.
And unless there was only one bidder, I believe there's an exception. If there was only one bidder that did not have a program, you know, yeah, the purchasing director, then it could still work.
And how, like, would that have had any impact in recent bridge work, say, in the last 2 years? There's been some notable ones crawling through.
That is your fault. And not
is there any fault on regulation?
They're large enough that they probably have a preparation program.
Well, this isn't something that would be prohibitive of, like...
Actually, it probably would have prohibited one vendor, one construction company, though.
And out of how many bidders that would be?
Oh, out of the bidders, probably a lot. Out of multiple projects? Probably at least 20 or so.
So one out of 20 wasn't excluded?
Okay. Well, not necessarily excluded.
Right.
It may not have been as easy to
get a friendship program as to get one.
Right.
Okay.
I'll second that. You know, it's a hearing now.
Yeah.
Only public hearing anyway.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
The fact that the union is supporting is more...
Yeah.
It didn't really matter. You know, they never give young people a chance to get started for work life.
It could change the ratio of the apprentice to journeyman where you could possibly get the lower cost.
That's lower a lot of situations where young people don't get a chance. They just simply squashed out of the fair and they don't get enough. Okay, resolution number 410, approving the execution of the contract in excess of $50,000 entered into the County Hudson Valley Engineer and Associates PC Department of Public Works. These are for the engineers to do
McTavern
Bridge. It's close to $200,125. This is 80% federal money, 50% state money, 5% county money. Motion moved by Legislator Lawrence, seconded by Legislator Allen. Any discussion?
Gotta get done.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Okay, David Bowles, you're up.
Okay, let's switch quick.
Is that all right?
CRM, two box culverts on West Rumbies Road. Everybody probably knows that those are...
You done now?
Salt lock 29%. I don't know if anybody knows that. You probably know that.
Yeah.
We filled up before the salt increase tried to come into effect. So we need to get a start on that. I guess you all know PVI was done ahead of time, they got lucky, and on their budget. We're gearing up for a big infrastructure program next year, and we'll be looking for numerous contracts that I anticipate coming through here in excess of $50,000. But we're hoping to move timely in order to get the construction season started early. Correct. Sooner we can get these things off the ground. We're just about finished the changeover. It's the winter on the highway side. That's the time of year. We started it early and did it on regular hours. And now we have some people working with extra hours trying to get them all switched over before the snow starts flying, so I think we're going to see some tonight.
Right.
A little bit. They're ready up there. Buildings and grounds are busy with renovating family court to bring a new judge in, which is, you know, surprise to everybody that we're getting a new judge. Mm-hmm. So if you're saying kickoff was today, Friday, square. There's numerous complicated contracts that I have to tip my hat to the purchasing department on this activity. He's done a great job. I should be aware that he's making up and the decided to move the public defender's office up to Golden Hill out of the Lucas Avenue building. So their offices are, I don't know if that's temporary or permanent. I don't think it's more than temporary.
The public defenders went up to Golden Hill?
Now, what building are they actually in up there?
Golden Hill office building, which is health department and mental health.
Mental health building?
It was about 2,500 square feet or so that was vacated by the insurance department.
Mm-hmm.
Space available, you know, we owned it, and it's, we're heating it regardless, so it's short-term anyway, that's a savings to have them up there as they go. There's a Lucas Avenue now will be reimbursement, it'll be 100% court facility and reimbursed by the state. Not 100% reimbursed.
Right.
Misunderstand. But
right.
The percentage that they do reimburse will be 100% of the building.
So it's a very busy place these days. Right. And
does anyone have any questions for either David or Brian?
I have another sort of energy comment just to keep everyone in the loop, and that is Amanda Laval reported to the Climate Smart Committee in depth, in terms of the energy expenditures for all the county buildings, the Siemens Energy audit, and so, step by step, we want to try to, beyond what has already been done, and that's extensive, and I want to really acknowledge that, but there's still some outlier buildings, but I think the best way to approach that is to talk to the head of that department and get that buy-in, and then, also be sure. So I just...
Great money is good, too.
I just want to let you know that we're thinking about that, and anything we can do in the next year to advance.
So we continue to pick away at it.
Yes.
For sure. No shortage of opportunities.
And she was, she was very thorough in explaining.
Yeah, she's another one that's terrific to work with.
Yeah.
Very helpful. But we are about to start the LED parking lot lighting retrofit at six or seven facilities. This one included that should be done before the end of the year. So there'll be a significant savings in it.
And you're
going to
have charging stations, too.
That's for next year.
Anybody have any other questions? I have one. The letter that we received from the state about our bridges, what I'm talking about, that passed through the planner's office, Dennis Doyle.
Was it about from the
efficiencies?
Oh, we get those all the time. But there's always letters about the fishing bridges.
Well, this one seems, I wish I would have brought it, seems to be quite specific.
We just got a letter of, maybe I'm confusing. Go ahead, tell me what more
about this
letter.
One, sort of said if you read between the lines that we had to pick up the pace.
What's about the TIP project?
Okay.
That was from Phil Gordon?
Yes.
Well, it's kind of funny because they're the slow folks.
Okay.
They said they'd like to have less than 4 months between bid, award, and construction. That's not the slow period. I mean, that's not the problem. The problem is in the review process between preliminary design and design and right of way. That's where the DOT slows it down by years.
Okay.
Literally years.
So do you feel that the current pace we repair bridges, is that strategy is good to continue with that?
When we repair them under our own finances, the capital project, we have to repair them quickly, like the Hurley Bridge and the PDI.
Right.
When we do it to the state, it takes fucking 15 times as much.
Right.
And it's
because... So I'm asking you, not need worry about that letter in the near future that you're going to come and start shutting down bridges?
No, in fact, we're very good and we're getting better between bid award and getting the contract.
Okay. I had some people approach me about that were concerned about the letter that's seen it.
That wouldn't be concerned.
Okay. Alrighty.
Thank they just, you know, they have changeover personnel. They really want to come and meet the new personnel that have taken over for the people who maybe they're trying to, maybe that's part of their answer to the slowness of the process with the change of personnel.
Where? Who's
called? Two names. I don't know. I don't know. Had dropped his also gone.
Okay, if nobody has any other questions or concerns,
I can make a comment.
Yes, sir.
All right, on the deficient bridge end, several years ago, I put an idea out with regards to reutilizing the newly placed bridge panels on the existing Tappan's Bridge. They're inverset type style units that are galvanized. An 8¾-inch that will have an awful lot of serviceable life left when we take the old bridge down in 2016-2017. For the sake of putting in a grade beam or...
Oh, they plan to give those away. Mm-hmm. Let's see what they do. Their plans are.
Probably have to bid on them, right?
No, no.
No, at one point in time, you could get them just for asking.
Really, but
I think it needs to be a grassroots effort because I mean I've spoken to the comptroller about it, and I've spoken to the governor about it, and they all think it's an absolutely excellent idea, but not one of them is moving forward or anything. But I think if the local towns and counties were to solicit to obtain those units. There's 1,096 units, which roughly would be about 800 to 900 deficient bridges statewide. You could take off the deficient bridge list. I think it'll go a long way to correcting some of the infrastructure problems in the state, and with a cost savings of several hundred million dollars over. Putting out bridge contracts and building new bridges. The DPW and the county need to be aware of.
Oh, we're aware. We're aware.
I brought it up 2 or 3 years ago at the Superintendents Association meeting, and they thought it was an excellent idea. It's not a new idea. It's something that I put forth when they were building the big ship in Boston, and Erie County took the initiative to not wait, and they picked up enough units to do an entry of 5 bridges out there at minimal cost, less than $100 in charge, less than $100,000 each of the bridges, multi-span bridges, which is very, very cheap. And there's still 167 of those units backed up in the interchange of 495 in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Yeah, I think they realize they have a decent asset there. And they didn't, what I understand, they tried to change.
Well, they were owned by the federal government, so the price could change, but if there was an issue, we would be able to change. But these units are in the New York State, so there's not an issue. We've already started taking some demo sections off the existing bridge to get the new east abutment in. And they're having a tough time with them. They're loving them. And shame the way to send them to the scrapyard is not green and just throws in the face for recycling. Because they can be recycled.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
well. Anything else? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Legislator Lauren.
Second.
Second by Legislator Allen. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much.